Hi, I'm Chad. I'm a Gen X grown-up. I support Gen X grown-up through Patreon, and you can too at patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to episode 73 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, though, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
In this episode, we'll discuss a new post-apocalyptic dystopian TV series where all of humanity lives on a train. Check out a mid-range mirrorless DSLR camera that packs a lot of bang for the buck, and play an action game where you are a super-powered luchador battling with forces from the land of the dead. But before we get into all of those intriguing teaser topics, we have some fourth listener email to get into, one of my favorite parts of the show. And our fourth listener email this episode is from Mike C.
Hey, Mike.
He's one of our patrons. He wrote it and said, I just listened to the episode. I have to agree with Mo that Upload, very good, and you should check it out if you haven't already. That was the series on, I think, Amazon, right? Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime.
One of those. Yep. I watched it all. It was great. Your recommendation was spot on. My big question for you is, what VPN do you recommend? George was talking about Jacket and Sonar, and I, of course, understand the need for a VPN, but I don't think any of your podcasts have covered the topic.
That's because they all suck for one reason or another.
They are a necessary evil, aren't they?
Yes.
They really are. Yeah. I think we all use different VPNs, probably. And so for my money, you might have differing opinions, but which one you use is largely irrelevant. Find one that's been around a while, well-established.
Yeah. Right.
They have reasonable rates, and give it a test drive. I mean, they're not terribly expensive. You could get a year for, I don't know, $30-$40 maybe or something.
A lot of them even have like free first 30 days, that kind of thing.
So. Free trials?
Most of them do, some kind of free trial period. The one thing I would always recommend, though, is make sure that you find one that doesn't keep its logs. Because in the weird case that a U.S. government, you know, ever wants to come in and grab their logs, if they don't keep them, then they can't track anything.
And many of them advertise that. They tout that right up front, right?
Yeah, they keep no records.
There are several reasons to have a VPN. You know, I know when I traveled overseas in China, I had to use a VPN so I could get to Google, you know, and YouTube and stuff, because they block it. But, you know, the other reason, you know, using Jacket and stuff like that is to absolutely make yourself anonymous. You know, a VPN anonymizes what you do on the internet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you said, George, I mean, it's a necessary evil because it slows things down and it can cause connectivity problems. So.
Yeah. But there's a few other reasons as well. Like, for instance, Netflix. Netflix decides what content you're able to watch based on where you're at.
Region locked. Yeah.
A lot of people use VPNs in order to be able to see content on Netflix that they pay for. We pay for Netflix every month.
Right.
But they're not allowed to see maybe Netflix Europe or something like that. And it might have some shows that they want to watch and they don't feel it's fair. So they use the VPN in order to say, okay, I'm now in Gibraltar and now they get to watch that TV show.
Yeah. A great example of that was when Star Trek Discovery, the first season of that came out, it was only on CBS All Access. But if you lived in Canada, it was on Netflix.
Right.
And so if you, through your VPN, if you told it you were in Canada, you could watch Discovery, which, I mean, it was an easy loophole. It's not complicated, but yeah. So, I mean, I don't think, the bottom line is we don't have a recommended single one. Try out a few. Mo, you probably will find a link or something, throw in the show notes for Mike and how to find a VPN or some of the ones we use.
Yeah.
I've never had one that I hated, but I've had the one I've had for several years now and it's good. So, hey, Mike C, thank you for writing in. We all love when the fourth listener drops us a line. If you'd like to have your email featured here on the show, just hit us up, podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one and most of them make it right here into the episode. All right, if you guys are ready, it's time to hop into the meat of the show then, right after this.
Fort Kirium, from fort to town to battleground.
Brave Star.
Fort Kirium, martial Brave Stars into galactic town.
Tex-Hex is attacking the town.
Laser fire, Tex-Hex shoots invisible electronic beams at the target. The bank explodes, but Brave Star strikes back and the town transforms into...
a fort? I'll blast it.
Brave Star hits the control. The wall falls. Fort Kirium, the fort that transforms into a space town with a bank, command center, and jail. New from Brave Star. Batteries not included. Toys sold separately. Assembly required.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals and their meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let's get the ball rolling talking about media that we have been consuming. Now, of course, the theaters still haven't opened up. That usually dominates our media segment back in the days before the apocalypse. Yeah. But
what's a movie again? I forget.
Yeah. Well, we used to like go to a big building and sit in this theater. Yeah, it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, what, there are definitely stuff to check out in the realm of media, you know, television shows and movies that are hitting the streaming and stuff like that. And George, why don't you kick us off? Tell us what you've been consuming in media.
Well, so I had talked about looking forward to season 2 of the Titan Games on the last episode.
Yep.
And I definitely was, and I've definitely watched the first episode and a half or two episodes. They did like a 2 hour long first episode, so it kind of feels like two episodes.
Kind of kick it off.
But yeah. I wanted to bring up that there are several other of these, I guess, competition game shows are becoming a bigger and bigger thing now.
Kind of like Ninja Warriors, but different, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, Mo, you and I have had our Ninja Warrior arguments in the past, you know, or
disagreements. Settle down, everyone. Let's not fight about Ninja Warrior.
Okay. No, that's an old argument. We'll just move past it now.
Buried that hatchet.
But we have the Titan Games, which season 2, and man, they have definitely kicked it up a notch. They've done some different things. But I also wanted to bring up that there's a couple of other ones. One of them in particular, based around something, Mo, that you found on YouTube and talked with us about. So there's a couple of new shows that also fit into that category with Titan Games, and I wanted to compare them just a little bit. There's Titan Games, which is the Dwayne Rock Johnson show, which from last season. There is Holy Moly.
I never heard of that one.
Me neither.
Which is Wipeout meets Putt-Putt.
Oh, I'm stumped.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm trying to, I can't, my brain can't wrap my head around that.
That's how my son described it. And then Ultimate Tag, which is Fox's way of, I think what happened was there was a young person who was watching those Ultimate Tag challenge things that Mo, you found on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he was really into it, and he probably told one of his parents about it, who must have been an executive at Fox, and they just went and fucked it all up. Because
greenlit.
That is the worst show of all three of these.
Oh.
Don't even bother watching
it. The stuff I found on YouTube was pretty cool, I thought.
No, it's terrible.
They just ruined it, huh?
Yeah, your thing on YouTube is awesome.
Yeah.
That's, and I love that. My family loves that when we're waiting for the next season or the next series that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ultimate Tag, it's like they took American Gladiators and all the bad parts of that. Because American Gladiators originally was pretty good, but then remember they had the revival with Hulk Hogan that was like, eh. They forced these people into these small arena types. They have three people who are being chased in the arena at the same time, and one person comes out trying to pick which one they want to tag, and whoever they tag the fastest gets eliminated.
Go for the overweight kid, right?
Always go for
it's
him,
just terrible. They hang from ceilings and crawl around monkey bar kind of tag situations. It's
what
just
about Holy Moly? Is that any better?
Holy Moly is awesome. So that's Rob Riggle is a host of that show. These people, they play mini golf. I'll give you the first hole that we watched in the first episode of season two, which is what's out right now. They put these guys in completely flame retardant costumes.
Oh no, that's a bad start.
I know. It's like, first, we're putting this asbestos suit on.
There are four fire-breathing dragons around the part where you start putting, and they breathe fire on the contestants and light them on fire as they're putting.
All right, I might have to check this out.
I might have to watch this. I'm suddenly intrigued.
We saw that, and I said, that's the first competition show that I've ever seen watch its contestants be set on fire. I've never seen that before.
That's interesting.
Competition show history.
Yeah.
Titan Games has upped their whole thing. They are doing it now where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is picking these titans that defend that mountain that they ran on last year.
Okay.
Everything is broken up by regions. There's an eastern, a central, and a western region. And so he has his two titans, a male and a female, for each one of the three regions. And they're all famous athletes. Like, there's a mixed martial artist in there. Jessica Graf, the girl from American Ninja Warrior, is one of the titans.
Okay, yeah.
Two competitors now, they do a best two out of three competition, and whichever one wins that out of the two out of three challenges then faces the Titan at the Mount Olympus competition.
Oh, okay.
And if they beat the Titan, they become the Titan.
Oh, like for moving forward, they'll be
kind of thing.
Pretty cool. I really enjoy Titan Games. Is definitely kicking the butt of all three. Holy Moly is a lot of fun. Don't even bother with Ultimate Tag.
Just leave it alone. Let it go. Nice. Well, I'm glad of those three, at least a couple of them are panning out for you. I know you love those athletic competition shows.
Oh, yeah.
There was one I was looking forward to. I think we all were. I just got to it first. The new Steve Carell Netflix show, Space Force.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How was that? Was
Have you
good?
Seen any of this yet?
No, I didn't watch the
first
it
few episodes.
Okay, it like just dropped as we're recording this, and I've binged about half of it. I think there's 10 episodes, and I've been through five of them.
Wow.
I was a little worried because I started seeing early reviews, and they're saying, this is a waste of time. It's a misfire. It's bad. Mm. And I understand where they're coming from. And if I had watched just the first episode, I would have agreed. And maybe they only got the first episode to review before release. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Space Force, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to watch all of it. And it's fun to watch. It feels all the time I'm watching it like a show that is so close to hitting it. It's so close to nailing it. And then they deviate and they don't quite nail on the comedy. Remember, like in school, like you had all your friends who were in a play, or they were doing a skit or whatever, and they were garbage at it, but you liked watching them do the thing they were doing because they're all your buddies, right? And this is, I mean, you got Steve Carell and John Malkovich and Fred Willard, rest in peace, Ben Schwartz, Lisa Kudrow, Jimmy Yang from Silicon Valley, Roy Wood Jr., so many people that I love watching, and they're all together like in this ensemble doing things. I like watching these people do their craft, being funny, or just reading this script, this ridiculousness, and it is just kind of a lukewarm show until the end of the second episode where you see, there's finally like a thread of heart with Steve Carell's character and his daughter. He's kind of a single dad right now because...
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I still don't understand that whole situation, but okay.
It's a really interesting story. It's an underdog story. It's like a sporting event story. It's, you know, it's like it's like Hoosiers or something, you know, it's like they are put upon and they're kind of the joke of the armed forces, and they're trying very hard to
except for
prove
the Coast
themselves.
Guard. The Coast Guard is...
They in fact continue to make fun of the Coast Guard.
They do indeed.
Yeah. They do indeed. So I know it's something we're all looking forward to, and you shouldn't stop looking forward to it. I was very apprehensive, and it damaged my ability to enjoy it early on because I was waiting to see, all right, let's see what the garbage, what's the dumpster fire going to be? And it's not that, but it's not a rocket to space, no pun intended. It's a good show. It's fun. I don't even know if it'll get continued or not, or carried on if it doesn't get critical acclaim, but you should all watch it. And if you listen to this show, you'll probably.
It feels as though that it's suffering from the fact that we were all so looking forward to the fact that Greg Daniels and Steve Carell were doing something and because they did such a good job with The Office, you know, as you know, I watched that show all the way through all nine seasons, two or three times a year, probably. And maybe because we were all super looking forward to it, and then you had those reviews that you read, it's hard for something like that to live up to expectations.
Yeah, right. It's like a new Star Wars movie or something.
Yeah,
it is.
I watched the first three episodes right now.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I totally agree with you. I said the first episode, I was like, eh. And it's getting better as it goes on.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is even really a criticism. Like you mentioned, like that cast. The cast, I mean, Jane Lynch. I mean, they got everybody in small parts.
Got Jane Lynch.
Yeah, even for small parts, they got these amazing comic actors and on there. And I keep thinking that it's like, part of me says, with this type of cast, with that kind of writing, why isn't the show better? It's not bad.
It feels like it's not quite reaching its potential, doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, that cast is like freaking amazing, right? There's not a single person on there that I wouldn't watch in the Roman show.
All by themselves.
Yeah. Because they're all just amazing at it. So I keep watching it. And the episodes, like now it seems like the episodes, I'm kind of like lukewarm, but then it's like he has a chopper pilot.
Yeah.
And there's an episode, maybe it's one where the chopper pilot is watching his daughter.
It's like episode three. Yeah.
Episode three. And so I just finished watching that one. And I said, you know what? I said, that relationship that they are building that was really good. I really like that. It's something like the character. I'm starting to care about the characters finally.
There are flashes of brilliance. There's a scene when they're in front of a congressional hearing on budget matters. That's amazing. There's little flashes of brilliance in there. And then it kind of goes, oh, this fell flat. This fell flat. Overall, the net sum, good show, Space Force. You should watch it. I hope it continues. I hope it continues to get better too.
Yeah.
But even as it is, it's worth your time. Just don't expect The Office Mark II. Just go in knowing that's what you got coming to you. So.
Yeah. And it does get better. So get through the first episode. And
it sure does. Yeah. All right. So, Mo, what about you? I know we were all looking forward to Space Force, but you had something that you had on the agenda, too.
Yeah. So it's a TV show based on that movie Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's on the train. And
everyone's on
the train. Social stratification. Sure.
So the first two episodes have dropped. So I watched the first two episodes. And
oh, boy.
It's not bad. No, it's not bad. It actually takes place like at the beginning of this. It's like only like a couple years that the train has been running.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. Thank you.
Before the film. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like, and these are the original people who got on the train.
Yeah, they start the first episode with them getting on the train.
Right.
And then it jumps forward 6 years.
And so they're keeping like some of the stuff from the movie, which is good. And there's some back and forth on it. But it's definitely like a whole class warfare kind of story, you know, about, you know, the people who were poor.
As the film was, too.
Sure. As the film was, exactly. The only thing that kind of gets me is like, okay, assuming that this is the same as the movie, I know they're not going to succeed because they, you know
this turns
the movie wouldn't happen. But it's like one of these things where like the people at the front of the train have this like perfect society almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least on the surface. Yeah.
On the surface, exactly. And that's where you find out that it's actually not perfect because there's been like a murder and the only person who they could find to catch the murder is in the back of the train who used to be a homicide detective. So they pull him forward to try to help figure out who the actually killer is.
So it's like a whodunit framed inside of the Snowpiercer.
Well, at least this first storyline is, I don't know how many episodes it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it seems like it's going to carry for a while because they don't really have advanced the investigation a whole lot yet. So, I mean, I like it. I'm going to keep watching it. I'm hoping it gets a little better. Like the story develops a little bit more and the characters develop a little bit more. But so far, you know, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I mean, I liked Snowpiercer, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought the movie was pretty cool. I thought it was a weird premise, but I liked it. So I was willing to give this one kind of like a few extra points right off the bat, just because I figured, you know, as long as I keep the train, I'm happy because the train is kind of cool.
So I want to bring up a couple of things because I'm a big fan of the movie as well. And so is my son. And he was the one who first introduced the show to me, that they were going to be doing a TV show.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. That, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it because, like you said, we know they're not going to make it if they follow along the same storyline, unless it's a alternate universe Snowpiercer or something like out of Star Trek. But there's a couple of things. Number one, this is on TNT, right? Which is a cable channel. It's not one of the channels that you pay for and everything. And there are a lot of questionable things that they show and say in this series so far. There is some just straight out nudity in episode one.
TNT, really?
Yeah. Yeah, straight out nudity. And then there's a lot of times when they're using language that they wouldn't normally use on cable or broadcast network that kind of surprised me a little bit. The murder that Mo was talking about, the way that they're describing the way the murder happened and some of the things that were done to the victim, they wouldn't normally talk about this stuff on cable or network TV.
You think this is TNT trying to be edgy like the streaming networks?
That's what I think it is, too.
It felt very much like they were going down the, we're Game of Thrones and we're going to show you all this kind of stuff road, trying to attract people that way. It felt a little forced.
Huh.
And then number two, the train itself. Now, Mo, when we watched the movie, what did the train make you feel like, especially because at the beginning, you know, when you're all in the tail section, didn't it feel very claustrophobic to you?
Oh, it's very closed.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, in this first episode, the train is super wide in some parts. It's got two stories, apparently, now, because they go down below section.
Yeah, they do.
I'm like, what? How the hell did this train get this damn big and stay on the tracks at all? Because it would be super top heavy. I don't know. I mean, it's just running on regular train tracks. It's not like it's, you know, gripping the tracks like a monorail or something along those lines. It's just running on regular train track. And then, of course, you know, first episode, stuff starts breaking, and there's glass on the front of the train, which was a big no-no in the movie because the train has to burst through blocks of ice that have tapped over the track. Now the train has glass at the front window. What? It feels like
that it's a prequel. They learned that later. Oops, that was a mistake. Let's take off the glass.
Well, I mean, they didn't have time to stop.
That shears off the second level, you
know? Right. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they can stop and do maintenance, but that's what that bottom level is for. They do maintenance underneath the car sections.
Well, I hear a lot of like, this is weird, unusual, real breaking, and Mo, you're kind of ho-hum. Is this something that people, if they enjoyed the film, should watch, or is it weird? Is it damaging?
I don't know yet, actually. I think it's too early, because it's only a couple episodes.
John, for me, it feels as though these are two different Snowpiercers. And I don't know that that's a good or bad thing yet, but they definitely misled us a little bit in making us feel like that it was going to be more relatable to the show. The whole thing about the person who created the train is completely different, and it's going to be this reveal at some point to the rest of the people on the train. You can see that coming. I just think that they've given us a different show with the same name based around the same basic concept. But we here in our family, we're still very much interested in watching the shows as they drop because it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with what George said. That makes a lot of sense because it's I think, you know, it could be a good show. You know, not even worry about the movie. You know, I think it could be good.
Right.
It's too early to tell yet, I think, is what it comes down to. I mean, I saw two episodes. I'm going to watch the third one when it drops.
Okay.
If it starts going downhill, I may stop at some point. But right now,
you have not ruled out abandonment. You're ready if you need to. You're not
married.
If
I need to bail, I'm going
to
bail. But right now, you know, I'm going to keep riding this train. No pun intended.
Got it.
The Cabbage Patch Kids.
I promise to be a good parent to my Cabbage Patch Kids.
Your children can adopt them and care for them just like real kids. There are Cabbage Patch Kid umbrella strollers that let your kid really come alive. Snuggle up carriers to keep your Cabbage Patch Kid close and secure. Cradles for rocking baby while you're walking or just lying around.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I don't have a Tekken toy this time, but again with you, but I'm going to totally glom on to both of yours because I have hooks into both of them.
Okay. All right.
So
what else is new, really?
So I'm going to let George
start
off.
Come back that he invented both of ours or something like that. I built that back in the day.
Let George start, kick us off.
Okay.
And then I'll just glom on what you guys say and take some part of the credit. But go ahead, George.
Okay. Just let me know when you're ready to start taking credit. I'll be happy to back off, because this one, while it is a piece of tech and it's related to something that we've been talking about over the last several episodes, we've been talking about the software family of double R's, right? Sonar, radar, and this one now that I would like to talk about today is LiDAR. And each one of these double R software media gathering components is specifically geared toward a different type of media. Sonar for television, radar for movies, and LiDAR for music.
Right.
Now, John, you have one of the most exhaustive music libraries that I have seen, and you gave me copies of a lot of stuff that I wanted, different, and some stuff that I really didn't want. I don't know who needs 57 albums of Alan Parsons stuff you don't Project.
I was about to say thank you for the compliment on my nice curated library, but I don't know if I thank you now, but yes, yeah, I do have a lot.
I did not realize that Alan Parsons had that many albums.
I don't think it did. I think he just made his own albums up out of the music.
I will admit that my audio library is very eclectic.
Yes.
That's a word for it.
So LiDAR is this program, just like sonar, just like radar, that when you install it and point it toward your already existing media directory of that subject, it will scan it. It will assign metadata and images and things like that inside its interface to those. And then it will also allow you to see, because it's music, it will allow you to look at it from an artist's point of view and see all the albums that they've released or are releasing. It actually has a continuing or ending feature, which I found very odd. But if a band is broken up, they're ended.
Yep. Or if the artist is dead, ended.
Right. Exactly.
No more releases forthcoming.
You can also set it to grab any new future albums that that artist or band releases, which is pretty cool. I used it as a test subject because I wanted to see, there are several bands that I have that John didn't have, and I wanted to see if I could get their albums, you know, downloaded, just to see if it, how it would work.
If you could find them.
Yeah, I picked Aerosmith. John, for some reason, didn't have a lot of Aerosmith in his library.
Like, I had them on some best of albums, but not, I probably don't have their full albums. Yeah,
exactly. So they have, like, I don't know, it was like 10 or 15 different albums listed. It also lists stuff as singles, which these were like little mini CD or mini tape releases that had 2 to 5 songs on them. It has those in a category. You can't seem to just want to grab one song. You can grab the package, like the album or the single that had 2 or 3 songs in it, that kind of thing. Oh, but you can't just say, I want to grab Crazy from Aerosmith. There's no function for that in it so far. Now, granted, this is still in the early alpha beta stages of the software, but it does go out there and find, it uses Jacket for its indexers, which is great. It uses Qubit Torrent, you know, for its download client, the same way that Radar and Sonar do. So that part of the setup is super easy. I said, okay, I want to grab this album and this album from Aerosmith. The first album downloaded just fine. The second album, I wanted the original Aerosmith 1973 or 70 whatever album, the debut album.
Yeah.
And instead of downloading that, it downloaded a greatest hits album, which had the exact same track set.
Oh, well, I guess you got what you wanted, I guess.
You kind of got what you wanted, didn't you?
Yeah. But it didn't recognize it as being associated with that album. So it kept looking for that album.
So it got it, but it didn't actually match. And then it kept looking. Okay.
And it didn't have that greatest hits album listed in its list. Mm. So it never copied it over into the folder either. So
audio is a tougher beast to get your hands around because it's so nebulous. Individual tracks and singles and variations and remixes. And that's got to be a nightmare.
See, because I would think like something like LiDAR, what I hope it would do for me, it'd be great if like it could say, okay, I'm not going to grab duplicate songs.
Yeah.
You already have this song on this album, so I'm not going to grab it here. Or, you know,
and it doesn't do that. It sees the albums as totally separate.
It looks at them as releases. This release, this release.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's functional. It does download music for you. It does categorize stuff and do the renaming, you know, just like Sonar and Radar.
Okay.
ID3 tags it'll do, which is nice.
Yep. So if you're looking to grab music, it's a way to grab music if you're used to using Sonar, Radar, Medusa, whatever software like that you're using to do media grabbing. I'm not 100% sold on it yet. I'm going to keep testing it and playing with it, but it does function. I'll say that much.
But it is super beta, right?
Yeah, like alpha beta almost.
That's
alpha.
It's pretty darn early. Yeah. I was almost afraid to point it at my library for fear that it might break something and, you know, mess
up
some files.
At least it didn't do that so far.
It didn't do that. So at least that much, it's good.
Okay, so it won't break your shit. Okay.
It comes from a solid lineage of those lines of pieces of software. Mm-hmm. And as polished as Sonar is, I've got to believe LiDAR is going to come around.
User interface is really nice. It's configured differently than Sonar is and differently than Radar because they're not exactly the same. But it's a very very nice, easy HTML5 interface to use.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, John. So that was my tech toy. Now you give yours and we'll see how much Mo gloms onto
see
that.
How much Mo steals mine. Yeah, okay. Yep. It's been a while since I have gone down this road, actually. It's probably been 2 years ago now. We were all hot on, I need to get this camera and this camera and this microphone and this camera. We kind of got the gear we needed to do Gen X Grown Up, and we've just kind of been using that gear for a while.
Sure.
Our phones.
Yeah, yeah. For shooting video, frankly, I bought a 4K like camcorder thing some time ago, and I ended up not using it because you got to get batteries and you got to, you know, get it out and run a power cord or whatever.
I wish you'd have figured out that you weren't going to use that before you had me buy it.
Before you bought
it.
Because
I bought the same
damn one. No, I know. That story will continue. So the whole problem of infection is coming. But anyway, yeah. I've been using my phone to record video for YouTube, which is okay. I mean, it's HD footage and it's all right.
I mean, the phones take really nice video, actually.
Optics in a phone just don't look like what I want professional video to look like, you know? So like, I want to be able to focus on something and have a defocused area, whereas, you know, cell phones tend to have everything in sharp focus and everything is, there's no composition to the shot.
There's no depth of field. There's nothing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So long story short, I was eager to get something that was really better for our video production. And I looked around a lot. DSLRs were something I was looking at. I talked to other YouTubers, what they had. I was talking to some of our patrons about the things that they had on our Discord channel and that kind of thing. And I finally found a camera that I have purchased. And man, I'm going nuts in the world of cameras now. So I bought this Canon EOS M50.
Canon EOS? That's like, what was the tennis player that used to always hawk those? Remember Andre Agassi?
Yes. Right? Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, he had that Canon line he liked. So this is a brand new mirrorless. It runs about $400 or so. I bought a bundle that had that
Damn
and
it.
Some other stuff. I know. I'm sorry, George. So get your money ready. So I found this camera and I actually got my hands on one to look at it before I purchased it. I got it in hand and the internet is going nuts over this camera. If you go to YouTube and search for EOS M50, you'll find a million videos by 1,000 different YouTubers because it's the hot camera. It's not the top of the line and it's not a piece of crap. It has all the menu system of the super multi-$1,000 Canons, but in this box that is, it crushes so many of the things that would stop you from getting it. It's a great camera. It has some 4K in it, though it's a little bit limited. I'm using it full 1080 at 60 frames per second, which is amazing. It has great depth of focus. It has a 50-point facial recognition autofocus, but then there's all the toys. So there's a huge, I want to say it's like a 3.5 or 4 inch touchscreen on the back that can flip around to be a giant viewfinder like you're using a phone, which I love. One of the hassles always with shooting on your phone was recording the footage and then plugging your phone in and downloading stuff. This camera has its own Wi-Fi hotspot. You turn on the Wi-Fi hotspot, connect a computer to it, it recognizes and sucks in the footage automatically. It is just the smartest camera I have ever seen. And for the price, it's not multi-thousands of dollars. I've only done one new video with it so far, and I was so happy with the quality of myself on camera and the product shots that I did. I don't regret for a second getting this thing.
So give me glom on here for a second.
I mentioned to Mo that I was getting this new camera.
So John, let's see, George, I kept you out of this. You owe me one.
Thank you. Now I owe you one.
You know, you could have been there right along with us, like the whole 3D printer thing, right? We could all have been there together.
Yeah.
So John mentioned this camera thing. And actually, to tell you the truth, a lot of things, like with every time you want to film something, you got to set everything up again. You got to, you know, your camera, I mean, the phone is not really, you know, it's not really made to be a camera like that. I mean, it is for convenience sake.
Not for what the purposes of us
using
this camera.
Not a studio camera.
It's not a studio camera.
Right.
So John told me this thing and I agonized. I said, let me go check. And then I was like, no. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to get it. And then everywhere I looked, they were sold out.
I kept trying to talk you out of it. I was like, I
know,
don't want to happen.
I don't want to happen to you.
What happened to George? Let me vet it out a while, see what's actually useful.
Yeah.
Because I felt guilty over what happened before. But he's like, I'm dying to buy something.
Yeah. He did bring you up, George, as a cautionary tale.
As a cautionary tale.
George is often a cautionary tale. It's not just in camera purchasing.
Yeah, apparently.
So anyway, I was sitting there. I was like, I don't know. And then finally, I said, okay, I'm going to get it. They were sold out everywhere. Which, of course, made me want to buy it more.
Right. Like, it must be great.
I'm like, God damn it. I want this thing. Like, somebody's trying to keep me from getting it. So I actually went to the Canon website. This is through recommendation through one of our patrons, actually. They're selling refurbished ones with a 1-year warranty.
Yep.
That's what I did with the 4K camcorder. Best Buy had a refurbished one with a 1-year warranty.
Ah.
So I went that way. It was still expensive, but not yeah. as expensive as brand new.
Yeah. So I bought it. Now, the kit that, John, you got actually came with like a studio mic, like the shotgun mic.
Shotgun mic, yeah.
And all that stuff. So, but I was able to find, you know, but I was able to buy those pieces separately and come out to pretty much the same price that what John got, essentially. So, but mine's coming in pieces. So the mic's coming today, camera will be Monday, yeah. and, you know,
well, and the great stuff, thing, but. Aside from just having a really awesome camera that works on a tripod, that does what it's supposed to do and has amazing looking video, the side effect of this, it's like when you buy a boat and you're like, well, I got to get a boat cover and I got to get a boat trailer and I got to get
all the accessories,
some seat covers, right? It's all the accessories. Like I've ordered a cage for it and a new light and a extra bolt on things for it's so easy to fall down the rabbit hole, but it's so much fun. And yeah. I'm really excited about how even just the base camera has already stepped up the quality of our video. And it just makes me even more proud of the stuff that we're putting out. And Mo, I'll give you a link to which video we did first.
Oh yeah. I'll put that on there for sure.
And after that first one, I've already got 20 camera settings that I want to change beyond that. So George, hold off a little. It looks like it's going to be good.
That's not a problem. I haven't produced any videos for the channel in a long time. I've just been doing all the background stuff. So right. I'm yep. okay waiting because
you can.
I yeah. did that whole thing with Comic Sans where I set up an entire studio.
You're trying to get a multi-camera set up. Yeah.
Four cameras set up and lights and everything else. And I went down that rabbit hole and spent probably, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000 total mm-hmm. over yeah, time on that. That. Much. I'm not looking to do anything close to that again. And because you know, you guys mentioned the 3D printer, because I've been able to sneak some of that stuff past the wife.
Yep.
There's no way I'm sneaking a new camera past her anytime soon because these things can't be cheap, right?
Yeah. The refurbished camera was 400 even.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then lenses and lights, like you were saying,
with
John.
The lens. It did come with the lens, but yeah, but
you're
going to want to
buy new lenses, though. That's the thing I hear about
these. Wide angle.
You know, yeah. you're always talking about buying new lenses with these things. That's like the big, you yep. know, cash grab for these cameras.
And I'm only accentuating the video production qualities of the DSLR. I mean, a lot of people are going to buy this for straight up just photo shooting.
Sure.
I haven't taken it off the video mode since I got it because I bought it for that. I bought it as a studio camera and it's doing the job great. It has things I'm not touching for still photography. They're going to be awesome probably once I get to that. We'll throw a link down the show notes. As Mo mentioned, I think it's sold out because recently updated this camera so it can be used as a webcam, a high quality webcam. You could plug it straight into your computer. They added that to the firmware. And so people looking for webcams were like, oh, well, webcams are sold out and this DSLR could be one. And I've kind of been wanting one. That's why it's kind of blown up, I think. Canon has responded to what's going on in the pandemic right now. Remember your headset you couldn't get and webcams are tough to get. Puzzles are sold out. People try to kill time. It's a great camera. So far, I think I'm only going to love it more. Mo, I think now that you've ordered it, I will say you're clear to order it. I think it's going to be a good camera. So now that you've already pulled the trigger, woo, that's great.
I'm just going to try and 3D print one. Well, like, can I do that? Can I just 3D print a DSLR?
That's not going to work.
No.
Actually, I did look for the cages, though, that you could 3D print. So
I'm sure you could. Yeah.
So you see, that's me glomming on to what John did for Tech Toys.
You did. Well done, Mo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
None of it's actually yours.
It's almost like I did it myself.
But you didn't.
That bird's a dead duck.
Woody Woodpecker is always getting into trouble. Weekday mornings at 8:30 on Channel 17.
Coming up on 5 Minute News. I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for the Generation X game segment, and I'm watching John and Mo on the monitors right now, and John's doing this little dance and dropping back from the microphone. I'm like, your voice is way louder than mine, so shut the hell up. I don't care anymore.
I love dancing to it. I enjoy it. I don't know why you're criticizing me.
I saw the first, like, look like something smacked you in the face as you pulled back from the microphone. I saw that first look. Don't think I didn't.
That was a wave of joy.
Well, just for that, I'm going to throw you into the fire, John. What are you playing? Yeah, you're going to go first. What are you playing right now?
So I am playing some stuff, but I don't want to talk about what I'm playing. I actually want to take a second here during the game segment.
hell is the point?
Yeah. I want to take a second here during the game segment to talk about what I'm not playing. And I want to give a huge shout out. Everyone should be aware. The Southern Fried Gaming Expo that we all love.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like all so right. many other things, like everything yeah. else has been canceled. It was in June, maybe early July. I forget where it's going to hit, but it's summertime.
Yeah.
Of course, they've canceled themselves, but also the hotel is not opening to let people in and that kind of thing. I won't speak for you guys, although I think our sentiments are very similar. This is an event that here in the Southeast in Atlanta, Georgia, we drive up to it. It might be the single event that we go to that I look forward to the most.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love I love the people. Fun there. I love the show. I have a great time. I make a long weekend of it, and it's canceled.
Yeah.
They have done all the right things by all of their fans and all of their attendees. They've offered full refunds. They've asked, hey, would you carry this over to next year, to 2021? If you can't, we're going to refund your money. But they've taken a huge hit because they had so many upfront costs they expect yeah. to recoup. Mm-hmm.
Deposits and...
Yeah, you can
stuff.
Imagine yeah. if you were putting on something for thousands of people, the advance work you would do and the money you invest. George, you put $4,000 into a YouTube TV show that right. ran for like a dozen episodes. They're putting on something that thousands of people have to go. Imagine the money. The point is.
They put more than that just in T-shirts.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I just really wanted to do was to put out a plea to those of you who have seen us go to Southern Fried Gaming Expo or talk about it or have been yourself or might be interested. If you can. If you're interested and willing, show your support for them. They'll put a link down in the show notes, but I'm just going to tell you it's store.southernfriedgamingexpo.com. And it's just their store. Get a t-shirt, get a sticker, get a pin. They're good quality. I have several. I wore them. And especially for the sake of the canceled 2020 show, they have a 2020 SFGE shirt that I love. It's a design that for the show that didn't happen. It has the Nintendo Power Glove kind of defiantly up, and it says, you know, in this together, SFGE 2020. Just send them a note or something and tell you support them. Go on social and let people know if you can't support them financially. I want to make sure that these guys survive this. I've done this with several, you know, during the quarantine. Restaurants that I love, I bought gift certificates to. Or, you know, a store that I visit, I bought a gift card to spend later, that kind of thing. This is the sort of thing. Invest in the future of this thing if you can. It's been awesome to Gen X Grown Up. It's been great to me personally. So if you can and you're able to support them, I would encourage you to do so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, John. I mean, this is, not only is it a fun show, it's also really well run.
Mm-hmm.
The people who do it, it's a quality event to go to. Like everything yeah. runs well. Everyone has a great time. I mean, it's just great. And my heart goes out to these guys. And it must have been heartbreaking for them to cancel. Because I think the guys who put it on just really love putting this thing on.
It was. I mean, they would like nothing more than to recoup their costs. But they, you know, they did the right thing and said, you know, for the Absolutely. Safety of everyone, we can't do it. So, you know, yeah. they shouldn't be punished for that. They should be rewarded for doing that right.
Yep. I ordered my t-shirt. So you're good.
So that's me lamenting what I'm not playing because I'm not going to be able to go to the awesome, you know, arcade that's going to be at SFGE this summer.
Yeah.
So let's continue, though, with you, George. Now, I've been excited. You've been working your way through the alphabet on these little games that you purchased and never played through Humble Bundle.
I'm still waiting for him to hit a letter that he doesn't have, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It hasn't happened yet.
Well, so let me preface that a little bit. So John, in the last episode, said, you know, it'd be really neat if you told us how much money you've spent, how much money you've saved.
I did, yeah.
So I'm a little bit of an Excel freak. I love working in spreadsheets. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did what I shouldn't have done. I decided to create this crazy spreadsheet. And so
way
I now,
more than I asked.
I now have every single game that I'm going to play or have played listed in the spreadsheet. And I've already done every single letter. I've already picked a game for it. I have a game for every single letter.
Oh, so no misses. You know, you're going to have it.
No wow. misses. I've done the whole thing. The one that we're on this week is G. So there were probably 20 games in my library under G.
Wow.
Some of them not necessarily through Humble Bundle, though. Some of them games that I just bought, like Galaga, you know, things like that. But I did find one here. I'm going to pull up the specs on it real quick. So I bought this game on February 17th of 2017 as part of the Humble Freedom Bundle for $30.
Oh, okay. Big chunk.
Big chunk. That's not one of my small purchases there. The game originally came out August 21st, 2014, and it currently retails on Steam for $14.99. I said I bought the bundle for $30. there were 135 Holy pieces crap. In this bundle.
Wow. Okay.
That works out to this game costing me 22 cents.
Okay.
So that means I saved $14.77.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at it.
That's how I'm looking at it.
I can save you money buying stuff.
It's on sale. I save money. How's the game?
I'll read you the description and then go from there.
All right.
The definitive version of the smash hit Metroidvania style action platformer Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition adds new levels, powers, challenges, and refinements to the sprawling, ridiculous Mexican-inspired adventure of the original Guacamelee Gold Edition game.
This has been on my radar a bit because it's a Metroidvania. I've heard it come up. I've never actually played it, though, but I know you're a luchador. That's all I know for sure.
You are a luchador, and yes, you you go between the land of the living and the land of the dead. It is a total blast. You're running around this map, and it's a side-scroller leveler kind of map. You're acquiring different luchador moves in order to help you go through the map, like suplexes and
body slams and stuff.
Yes.
Really? Great.
You're punching chickens. I mean, it is.
Of course. Who wouldn't like to punch a chicken?
What's the point of a modern game without chicken punching? Quite honestly.
I know, right?
You can't really, punch a chicken.
Really? You know, that's the measure of all great games.
That's like day one stuff.
Yeah. A day without punching a chicken is a day not worth living, let me tell you.
Right.
That's a t-shirt.
It is an absolute blast. Yeah, that's a t-shirt that gets you in trouble with the ASPCA. That's that t-shirt. So far, I've only played it for about an hour. I had gotten delayed getting prepared for this episode, so I didn't play it until the night before we recorded the episode, but I couldn't stop playing it once I did. So there's no question in my mind this is going to be one that I'm going to go back to time and time again, like A Flame in the Flood, which I'm continuing to play. That's why I hadn't started playing Guacamelee yet, because I was still playing Flame in the Flood a lot. And Mo, I know you had mentioned in one of our discussions that you wanted me to start rating these games, and I'm going to start doing that from this point forward. Out of our normal 5-token rating structure, I would give, so far, after an hour's worth of play, Guacamelee probably 4 1/4 tokens.
Really?
That's solid.
That's respectable.
Yeah. Playability, ease of entry, fun, just super hilarious dialogue that's in it. Like the chicken punching, this guy's like, I don't know what happened. All my chickens got crazy and they're in my house. Can you go in my house and put them back in their cages? It's just a total
luchador
blast.
To the rescue. Yeah.
Yes.
The art style of this looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd never talked to anybody who had played it. And so now maybe I'm not going to get it for 22 cents, but.
The movie that was, I think it was an animated film, Book of Life, right? So imagine a flat two-dimensional art style of that movie. That's what this game's art style is. Mm-hmm.
That's why, that's what I've seen.
Yeah, okay. It's a blast. I definitely recommend playing this game. I'm not sure about the $14.99 price tag. I don't know
it'll come
about
down,
15
sure.
hours worth because Even I don't know how far
you think it's okay.
Well, because quite. I don't know how far along in the storyline I am. There's a progression meter, but it's based on a map. You know, like if you look at Mario World and you're moving around the map.
Oh, that doesn't indicate time necessarily. Yeah, I see.
That's the only way to gauge where you're at in the game. And I'm still super early.
Now, I've got to ask you, the actual reason that I asked you to create a spreadsheet. First, I didn't ask you to create a spreadsheet.
You asked.
That was on you, yeah.
The question I had was, it would be curious to have a running total of how much you've spent on games so far. Because we're up to G now.
Right.
Do you have any idea of all these games so far we've talked about, how much you spent?
Well, so now what I have to do is I have to go insert a line so that I can create a sum of just the price of games that I've spent.
Oh, my God.
And this is why George has a spreadsheet.
Yes. I'm doing that right now as we speak. Okay, so what I've actually spent as the game is a part of the bundle is $2.37 so
for
far.
For ABCDEF, seven games so far.
Right.
$2. Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep your spreadsheet up to date, and we'll get an update when you get to H next time. Or you already know what it is.
Yes.
If you can get out of Flame in the Flood, you might get to your H, right?
I might get to my H, yeah. H has a really interesting game title, and that's what I tried to stick with, mostly independent games.
A teaser.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that these games keep living up to their titles, because if they do, there's not going to be a bad game in the bunch.
Well, I'm enjoying this kind of journey as you go through finding these, because I have the same problem. I have bajillions of games I've never played, and this is cool.
Now, there is one last little thing that I did find. I found some Steam keys that I had not redeemed.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I already have the game that those Steam keys would unlock.
So you have extras.
Through other bundles. Uh-huh. So I have an extra Steam key this week to give away to one of our fourth listeners.
Oh, cool. All right.
So the first fourth listener who sends an email to our account, podcast@genxgrownup.com, mm-hmm. John curates that email list, so he'll be the one deciding which fourth listener gets
it. You should title it Punching Chickens.
Okay. In the subject title, Punching Chickens.
Punching Chickens.
Yep. The first person who sends that in and requests it will get the Steam key. Now, we can't guarantee that the Steam key works because, like I said, I bought this thing in 2017. I don't know if it does or doesn't. I have no clue.
As long as nobody redeemed it, it's still good. Yep. Yeah. It's a license.
And the game that it's for is called No Time to Explain.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. That's as much as I know.
First come, first serve.
Yep.
So those of you who listen at 5 a.m., you have a leg up on everyone else.
All right. That's what I'm playing. Mo, what about you?
I'm playing it's actually not a new game, but it's a relatively new game. It's called Rebel Galaxy.
Star Wars based, I'm guessing?
Well, no. Actually, it's not.
No. I assumed it wasn't. I saw Rebel. Okay.
Nope. And John, I think you'll know this one. Do you remember a game called Elite?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Outer space kind of a merchant
space game where you, mm-hmm. you know, fly around and you have to trade and you fight pirates and you upgrade your ship. Uh-huh. I have been searching for a successor to that game since that first game came out in like 85, I think it did.
Yeah.
Because it was just fun just to play. It was an early open-ended game. You could do the basic story, but you could keep going, improving your ship and trading and making just huge amounts of money and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was kind of procedurally generated a bit. You know, things were kind of randomized. Right. So you could travel out in space and find a place that you didn't know was there and make a trade. And yeah,
exactly. So I think this is a good successor to that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
it's the same premise. It's a similar kind of premise. You know, you're an ex-pilot who now is having to get back into it because you're trying to find somebody who, I don't know, shot your dog or something. It doesn't really matter.
It's a John Wick story in space.
Yeah, there's a story. And then, so you basically get this crap ship to start with.
Yep. Sounds like a leap.
And you could trade between stations, and to make money, you could like trade commodities between stations. You find out which stations have good prices on this and that. You go out there, you can fight pirates. You can mine like you could in the original game.
Right. Yeah.
So you can do all that stuff just with a hell of a lot better graphics.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not just the ray trace lines that used to be black and white.
Yeah, that's just the ray trace, which was awesome for the day. And they took out a lot of like the hassle pieces. Like there's a whole docking sequence that they have for every time you dock with a station, but mm-hmm. you hit the button, skips it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which I love. You know, and sometimes I want to watch it.
Get onto the action. Yeah.
Yeah, just get onto the action. They also do some neat things. Like when you go to the station, they have things you could do on the station, like these little mini games. Like there's a casino, so you could do gambling.
Mm-hmm.
They okay. have this one bar has a pool table. You actually can play pool. You know?
Oh, and so they injected a bunch of little things into it. I see.
And it's not like a crappy pool game. It's actually pretty good. You know, and you bet money and you make money doing that.
Later versions of Grand Theft Auto kind of did that. Like you go to certain places, you could play darts and pool. Yeah. Things like that.
You could go to a strip club and give people dollar bills.
In an open world game like this, that gives more realness to the world because you can mm-hmm. deviate and do this kind of side thing, and it makes it feel more like fleshed out.
Right. And they definitely, whoever wrote this game definitely played Elite, because there's things like you should kill pirates. You know, they drop cargo sometimes mm-hmm. and you can pick it up. But if it's black market items, if you get scammed by a cop later, then you're in trouble.
Oh. Where'd you get this? I'm holding it for a friend.
Exactly. But sometimes you can make it to a station without it, and then you can make a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I mean, so far, like I said, I played it probably maybe a couple hours so far, just kind of get into it.
How did you find it? Now, you knew you were looking for something like Elite or researching
it
for
it? It got recommended to me on the Epic page.
Oh, the Epic Game Store. Okay.
Epic Game Store. They said, right. You know, you might like this. And I looked at it. I'm like, holy crap. And they had like this whole sale thing going on. So,
sure.
I'd say, so I paid. Now, the game is normally a $30 game, normally.
Okay.
Sale right now for $20.
Okay.
And Epic, when I bought it, had a $10 off coupon.
Okay. $10.
So I paid $10 for it. Now, I don't know if the coupon, I know the sale is still going on. The game is $20. I don't know if that $10 thing is still in effect that they were doing. So I'm definitely going to get my Corey's out of this for sure. $10
Psh, well, I know how much you love Elite. I mean, you got an Elite T-shirt, for heaven's sake.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, you're a super fan.
God, it's That was like a job playing Elite. I definitely would recommend this game if you liked Elite. And maybe part of the reason why I enjoy it so much is that it brings you back to that day of playing Elite.
I can get that. Yeah, fires those same neurons that you had.
Yeah.
All right. So Rebel Galaxy.
Rebel Galaxy.
Spiritual successor to Elite. It sounds interesting. And I assume you'll throw a link down in the show notes for our listeners to take a look at. Awesome. All right. Cool. Thanks, Mo.
A is for apple. J is for jack.
Gentlemen, you may start your breakfast.
Apple is sweet. Apple jacks. Cinnamon crunchy fun to eat. A super grand breakfast treat.
Kellogg's Apple Jacks. Made with real apples.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
We have just about reached the end of this episode, but before we do, you know, we always like to take a second here toward the end to talk about the things we're looking forward to between now and the next time we get together to record the show. And I would like this time to start with George. George, what are you looking forward to?
Okay, well, I'm not looking forward to a TV or a movie.
Okay.
Because there aren't any.
I'm looking forward to something that we used to do quite often. I think, John, you maybe still do. These subscription mystery box things, right?
I still have Geek Fuel. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I stopped those a while back.
I did as well. I stopped them 2 or 3 years ago because there was no point. I didn't always enjoy the things that came in the boxes. There was like maybe one thing in the box that I liked and 4 or 5 things I didn't care about.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's why I've been a big beneficiary of John continuing with it, because every time there's 3 or 3 things in there he doesn't
you
like,
get all the leftover stuff I don't want. So, I'm okay with that.
It's been great. But what if I told you that apparently for the last couple of years, Amazon has been doing a mystery subscription box?
I didn't know that.
Not only
what the heck's
a mystery subscription box, but it's one that is based in 2 major properties curated by those properties themselves. Funko Marvel Collector Core Box.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
I did not know that Amazon was doing that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
How did that never pop up on Amazon for all the shit that I buy that's similar?
I know.
Right? You'd be like their demographic, right?
Right.
So I get these emails from Amazon all the time that I almost instantly delete. It's like, oh, you might be interested in this. You might be interested in that. And I usually just delete them.
No.
For some reason.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
This one I didn't instantly delete. And I looked at it and it was like, it's closing out today at midnight. If you order it now, you can get this coming month's Funko Marvel Collector Core Box. And I'm like, what the hell is that? So I went and clicked the link and I looked at it. It's $30, $29.99, and it doesn't change its price no matter which size t-shirt you get.
Okay, that's good.
The other thing that they do, they tell you what they guarantee in the box, which is kind of nice. They don't tell you what specifically it is, but in this case, each one of these boxes has not one, but 2 Funko exclusive pop vinyls.
Exclusive ones to this collection.
Exclusive ones to this collection.
Huh. Wow. That's the thing that makes me keep doing Geek Fuel, because they have things that you can't get anywhere else. That's the real beauty of these boxes when they do something. And with Amazon, the power they got behind that, I can only imagine these are good.
Oh, geez.
Right. So now think about this as well. If you go to a convention like we do quite often when they're happening, you go to look at those pop vinyl stores that people set up at
like
those things.
The 30 or 40 that are always there. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of them are going to be anywhere from $10 to $50 for an exclusive pop vinyl, depending upon the pop vinyl itself.
For the rare ones.
So even at the minimum price, you've got $20 worth of pop vinyls in a $30 box. Then you've got the 3XL t-shirt that I ordered, which is probably at least another $15. So I've already paid for the box and just those.
You've got
three
your money
right there.
That's nice.
So I'm guaranteed to get something that will be worth worth the value of the box. Mine is due to come on the 6th. However, I just got a notification through Alexa. It sounds like it's getting here today.
Yay, Amazon. So, we'll take it.
Nice. This month's theme is Black Widow. And I'm assuming that's because that's when the movie was due to come out. You know,
film coming out. Oh, sure. Right.
They have had other themes. They've had Deadpool. They've had Venom. They've had X-Men. But you do subscribe to it just like a regular thing. You can cancel the subscription at any time. And it's Amazon. They don't give you a big hassle about canceling the subscription like the other ones did. Remember how all the hoops you would have to jump through?
Just do it.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm looking forward to that. Mo, what about you?
Cool. Okay. Well, I don't have a TV or a movie. I mean, I was actually looking really hard to try to find out like something new that's coming out in the next couple of weeks, but there's really nothing. So instead, I'm looking forward to playing with this new camera that John talked me into.
Your M50. Yeah. Camera Brothers.
So my future enjoyment is all based on John's recommendation. So
no pressure.
He won't let me down. So
you will be disappointed. You'll be fine.
No. I am very much looking forward to it. I've been really wanting to get like a setup done that I could just do the videos, knock them out, and make it a lot faster. So
this will let you do it. Yep.
I'm awesome. Definitely looking forward to that. So that's what I'm looking forward to. So John says, I'm looking forward to something that you got me into. What are you looking forward to?
I am also not looking forward to a television show or a movie.
It's a theme.
You may remember kind of a mid-80s to early 90s, Kool-Aid came out with some crazy flavors. They had Sharkleberry Finn, Purplesaurus Rex, Rockadile Red, Grape Ludini, these weird flavors. They canceled them.
Right.
My favorite was Purplesaurus Rex. It's a cross between grape and lemonade. Loved it.
Of course.
Loved it. And plus, it's dinosaur themed, so why wouldn't you? But they've been long since gone, and it wasn't even anything I even thought about. It's just one of those things like, the candy bar they don't make or the snack, whatever, that's not around anymore. And then something popped up in my news feed. Kool-Aid is releasing retro flavors of some of the discontinued stuff. So of these, both Rockadile Red and Purplesaurus Rex have been re-released as retro flavors.
You know what's happening here, right? You know what this
is. They're cashing in on Gen X. I know.
No, not just that. Because of COVID-19, all their factories are probably shut down, and they went and found these things in a warehouse somewhere.
Oh, terrible.
I'm going to trust that's not true. It's a new design box.
We have a surplus of lemon and purple.
Let's put them together. So I have ordered these old flavors, new versions of them, Purplesaurus Rex and Rockadile Red, two Kool-Aid flavors that I really, really enjoyed, especially the Purplesaurus one. I'm going to do a video taste testing, remembering these flavors. It's going to be a quick, easy, short video, but I'm going to share it because I got a new camera, so I got to shoot some stuff with it. Going to justify that expense, but
yeah, you're going to justify the expense with a Kool-Aid video.
I did the candy taste test was well received, and so we're going to take a look at these retro Kool-Aid flavors.
I could just see that conversation, honey. I spent $500 on a camera. What for?
Why?
I got to film Kool-Aid some Kool-Aid video. Testing.
That's pretty much how most conversations in my family go. That's exactly right.
But you remember, like, these Kool-Aid, you got to make them like 2 quarts at a time.
I can handle it. That's okay. I will. I can follow instructions.
What
it's
is all
the
stuff in the refrigerator?
So stay tuned for that. I'm excited to taste Purplesaurus Rex again. That's what I'm looking forward to. You make fun of me all you want. That's what I'm doing.
Kids, help! Time for a balanced breakfast with Cheerios.
You got to go with Cheerios, and the Cheerios that help you grow. Cheerios.
Science, science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Woo! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show. So hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy. Plus, you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. That is just about going to wrap it up for another edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. Before we leave, we'd like to take a moment here right at the end to express our sincere gratitude to the people that support us every single month over on Patreon, take a few bucks out of their wallet to keep the lights on here and support what we do. And I love to call them out, and I'm grateful to you guys. Arlen, Ben, Levi, Jonathan H, Greg L, Davis, T and Chet, Greg Z, Mike C, Stubaka, Thomas, Adam, Stew Monkey, Tony, Dana, Travis, I can't do it, it's too many. Tony, Dana, Travis, Tom J, Dan, Chad, Slowmo, T2, Mark, Agile, Blastender, Stashit, and Marcus, who increased his pledge by 150% just because.
Wow.
So he's giving us like 25 cents now, or
comes he giving us before a dime? Jesus.
He bumped from $10 to $25 just because he believes in what we do.
Man.
So grateful. And this happened a couple weeks ago. Mike did that. He's decreased his pledge because why not? I never am not impressed and amazed and humbled by our patrons. And Marcus did it to me again. I don't know what to say. Anyway, if you would like to join these folks in making me stammer throughout this part of the show, it's really easy. Mo, would you tell them how they can join?
Oh, sure. I mean, it is. And we really do appreciate every single one who contributes, you know, especially these days. But if you want to contribute or increase your pledge, you just go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon, and it'll take you right to the page where you could put your whatever you can do for us. Any amount is really welcome. And depending on what level, you also have a whole bunch of swag. You have special videos that you get exclusive rights to.
Outtakes, bonus content, yeah, bloopers, whatever. Yeah,
whatever that doesn't really fit in the show, we'll throw on there for you guys. So, but anything we can do to help, because we really do appreciate everything that you give us.
We sure do. Well said, Mo. We will be back with another show in 2 weeks, as always. But next week, with our backtrack, we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. I'm ready for this one. George, tell the fourth listeners what's coming up next week.
Absolutely. You know, normally our backtrack topics are a little puzzling to me. However, on the next backtrack,
I saw what you did there.
I think these are going to be absolutely wonderful to talk about. We are going to talk all about the world's famous Rubik's Cube and the puzzling cube onslaught that it created thereafter.
Love it. I am surprised that it took us this long.
Well, it's an interesting backtrack subject to broach, right? Because how do you do a backtrack talking about a visual, physical item like that? That is already so iconic, but we're definitely going to give it a shot next
week. We'll find out in a week.
It's never stopped us before.
No. Cue the Dewey Decimal System. yes. I cannot wait. I hope you will join us for that. Until then, I am John. George, thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listeners, though, it's you we all appreciate most of all, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
And sorry, we didn't answer your question for fuck all.
Well, we'll have links. Make him read the show notes.
That's right. We answered it. The answer is no comment.
Which is an answer.
I don't know if anybody else does, but for some reason right now, I feel awkward. Like I'm not in the zone for some reason when I'm talking.
We started 15 minutes early. You know,
is that what it is?
Biological clocks.
I just feel like I'm...
Oh, look, I gave myself the heart to say dystopian apocalyptic. That's good.
Well, you wrote it, so.
I did. So. Everybody good with the promo?
Yeah, it's just reading.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't judge.
Yep, I'm good.
In 5, 4,
watch me fuck it up.
Yeah, after your shit talk.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.